Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Fulfill God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
We would be much better off if instead of letting other people just spoon-feed us and cram things down our throat all of the time, you need to spend time encouraging imagination. Say, God, what do you have for me? My parents said I'll never amount to anything, and so far they are right on. But what is your plan for me? What does the Word say about me? And pray and let the Holy Spirit give you an image of what He wants you to do and what He wants you to accomplish and what kind of person He wants you to be. See it on the inside. And if you could see it on the inside, then you'll become that on the outside. There are a lot of you that have a negative image, and you know what? You are becoming exactly that. You think you can do nothing, and it's absolutely true. You've got to get this imagination dealt with. That's the part of you that understands. You know, when I was a kid even, I remember reading about David and Goliath. And before I understood any of these scriptures, you know, one of the things I did was go out and mark 9 foot 9 inches on a tree, which is what most of the scholars believed Goliath was. And then David was about 5 foot tall, so I bent over and got it 5 foot so that I could look at that and get an image of what was going on. Some people think, well, why would you do that? I guarantee you, the story of David and Goliath has become more real to me and more alive, and I've gotten more out of it than most of you in here because I have done things like this. I'll read the information, and then I close my eyes, and I sit there, and I see David doing these things. When we were on our Israeli tour that we took, they stopped, and it was hot at the Valley of Elah where David fought Goliath. And they said, does anybody want out? And it was hot. Nobody wanted out but me. I got out. I walked down to that little stream that ran through, and I picked up 5 little stones. And I stood there and looked around and thought about what it would be like to face Goliath with 5 little stones. Some people think, well, why would you do that? It just makes my imagination come alive. Some people don't know how to verbalize it, but this is why when people go to the Holy Land, all of a sudden they say, the Bible is so real, it just made the Bible come alive. You know why? Because it engaged your imagination. All of a sudden now, Emmaus wasn't just a name in a book. You've been there. You've seen how close it is to Jerusalem. You've seen the path. And all of a sudden, you come alive thinking about these 2 disciples walking on that exact road. And all of a sudden, Jesus is with them. You're in the place where John baptized Jesus. You see Mount Calvary. And all of a sudden, because you can see it, the Word just comes alive to you. There's a lot of people that read the Bible with their head and not with their imagination, not with their heart. And that's the reason that it doesn't minister to you. You got to swallow it. You not only got to hear the things of God, but you got to take it and then let meditate on it until it paints a picture, until you see what is happening. Man, that is a powerful truth. I've given you a nugget right there that's worth the entire weekend. That's your imagination. And very few people meditate on the Word. They got 10 chapters they're going to read so that they can fill out their thing and make God obligated to move in their life. And they just run through it as quick as they can. And they got to hurry up so that they don't miss their favorite show on television. And you're just reading words and putting information in your brain, but it never gets down into your heart. It never gets into your imagination. You never see anything. You don't let it become alive. Man, you need to see. You know, when I started believing for people to be raised from the dead, I read John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You know one reason I can quote Scripture? I never have tried to memorize that Scripture. Never. I don't memorize Scripture. But you know what? I meditate on it. I read it and I think about it. Father, can I do the same things that Jesus did? And I'll think about it until I see it. And I'll read about him raising Lazarus from the dead. And I read about him yelling, come forth, and all. And I stand there and I see myself saying, come forth, speaking to a dead body and commanding it to come alive. I read that verse and it inspired me to start believing for miracles, which included raising from the dead and everything else. And you can ask my wife, before we saw the first person raised from the dead, for 6 months, I had meditated on this so much. I had seen it on the inside as I read scripture that for 6 months, I raised a dozen people from the dead every night in my dreams. I would dream about just going in and emptying morgues. And that's all I dreamed about, was seeing people raised from the dead. And then all of a sudden, I saw my first person raised from the dead. And some people don't make the connection. But some of you have never dreamed of raising a person from the dead. Instead, you dream and think about, oh man, I could never do this. This is the way you see yourself, and you wonder why you never see it come to pass. You pray and ask for it, but you've never seen it. You got to see it until it becomes so real you dream about it. And you know, after I'd seen two people raised from the dead, it had been 10 or 15 years or something. I forget the exact time, but I was thinking one day, you know, I used to just meditate on this until I dreamed about it. And I said, I need to go back and once again, just get my imagination going about seeing people raised from the dead. And I started doing this, just felt inspired of God that, you know what, I still need to see people raised from the dead. And I started dreaming about it and having dreams about raising people from the dead. And then my own son died. And he was dead for 4.5 hours. And praise God, we were able to pray and see him come back to life with no brain damage, no more than he had before. Praise God. And I was just able to take him and my oldest son and my granddaughter, who was born a year after he was raised from the dead, to Disney World just a couple of weeks ago. And it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't have been meditating on these things. And a lot of people, see, don't go through this process. They want the miracle power of God and they pray for it, but inside they are defeated, they're discouraged, they're depressed, they don't see it, and they can't understand why is it not coming to pass. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. And again, that word think there is talking about the mind. That same word that was translated mind in Isaiah 26:3 was translated imagination. I believe it's got to be in your imagination that you see these things. And most people's imagination is vain because they haven't been glorifying God and they aren't thankful. If you will start glorifying God and being thankful, it will make your imagination resurrect and start you being used in a positive way. And then, you know, I researched every time that the word imagination is used in the Bible. And with the exception of that one verse in 1 Chronicles 29:18, where it talks about keep this in the imagination, the thoughts of the imagination of men's hearts. With the exception of that one instance, did you know that the word imagination is negative every time? It's negative. It says, God saw that the imagination of men's hearts were only evil continually, that he destroyed them in the imagination of their thoughts. He rebuked them over their imaginations. Imagination isn't used in a positive way. In the New Testament, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Imaginations there are talked about as being negative. And I was meditating on this and think, God, if imagination is this powerful, like for instance in Genesis chapter 11, God came down to see the Tower of Babel and he says, man, the people are one, they're united, and now nothing that they have imagined will be restrained unto them. Right there, the Lord was threatened by the cumulative imagination of man, and so he divided our tongues so that we couldn't be in unity anymore. Now that's amazing that God would be threatened, his purposes would be threatened by the imagination of man. I'm telling you, your imagination is powerful. If you can imagine, he said, nothing that they can imagine can be restrained. I could get plumb off the subject right here. But you know, I've got a vivid imagination. And one day you'll see this. One day you'll see things like we have these things where spaceships just hover and they just sit there and there's, I believe I can understand how to do that. That is a natural phenomenon. They already do it with superconductivity. You can pass electric current through something that's cooled over 270 degrees below freezing, and metal and things will just float. And they don't float and fall off. They just float. It's already being done on a small scale. I believe that anything we imagine can be done. That is an amazing statement. That shows you the power. God was threatened by the imagination of people. If imagination is this powerful, how come it's not talked about in anything except a negative light? Why is it always spoken of as being a bad force? I prayed about that, and you know what the Lord showed me? Look at this in Romans chapter 8. To me, this was God's answer to this. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 24, it says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." I was studying that one day, and the Lord says, hope is seeing something that you can't see. Hope that is seen isn't hope. It's no longer hope if it's seen. Hope is seeing something with your heart that you can't see with your eyes. And as I thought on that, I thought, well, that's what imagination is the ability to see something not present. It's the ability to see with your heart. And I really believe, I could spend more time on this, but I really believe that hope is the scriptural word for a positive imagination. Hope is your imagination working for you instead of against you.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled, How to Fulfill God's Will. This five-part series was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1068C for CD or R3212D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU21 titled Hope and Imagination when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
Have you ever thought about coming to Bible college? You know, I know that that's a big decision, but preparation time is never wasted time. And we see people's lives changed. And to even make it more convenient, we not only have the school in Colorado Springs, but we have an online Bible school where you actually go through at your own pace, but you are in a group. There is interaction. There's a facilitator. We have correspondence courses, and we have 15 different college campuses located around the world. So certainly there is some way to accommodate your desire to learn more about the Word of God. So call us at 719-635-1111 and ask about one of our Caris Bible colleges.